I want to turn to Proverbs 4:23. Begin there, okay? And I want to talk about our hearts this morning. And in particular, lifting from this text of Scripture, Proverbs 4:23, where he says, and this was one of my memory verses a long time ago, guard your heart, he says. Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I want to speak about that. You know, guarding our hearts because it's under attack. Guard your heart because it's under attack. But guard your heart because we live from our hearts. And what I could also say that, you know, what we give our affections to, we speak about our hearts, we think of our affections, the seat of our affections, in fact, whatever we set our affections on has us. That's where we are. That's what we live for, what we live from. So Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Guard your heart because that's what you live from. It's the wellspring of life. And then I want to look at another scripture complementing where I want to go today, and I'm going to be mentioning a couple of other, kind of threading together some other passages as we go. But then from Colossians chapter 3, and carrying on this theme of our hearts and our heart's affection, Colossians, it's not collisions, it's Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, and I want to highlight something here from this passage of Scripture. And he says, from the NIV, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ. You've come to Christ. You have felt the power of his life in your life, and you're born again. Resurrection life is now within you. He says, since that's happened, he says, set your heart on things above. You see it there? Set your heart on things above. And where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I like what how the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament, how he puts it. He says, give your heart to heavenly things, not to the passing things on earth. I'll read it again. I like the way he juxtaposes heavenly things and earthly things. He says, give your heart to heavenly things, not to the passing things, not to the temporary things, not to the fleeting things, not to the things here today, gone tomorrow, this earth. Let's pray. So, Lord, as we're here in your presence and now we're huddled around your word, God, you know my heart, that it's my utmost desire to feed your sheep. And that we together would hear from you and be nurtured and strengthened. That we'd have a sense about us that, boy, you know what? God did something in my heart today in the ministry of the Word. God, that you would come by your Spirit and that would happen in each of our lives. That you would put your Word to the situations of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so our hearts, our hearts are under attack. We got to put up a guard around our hearts. Now, I want to get into this. I want to dive into this by asking a question. How many of you know someone who once had a heart for God, as we might say? I think we understand that when we talk about that in that kind of language, right? You know, someone who had a heart for God. Following Jesus, they were, you know, genuine Christians walking with the Lord, and doing all those things that go with it. And now that person is far away from God. You anybody like that? Some of them are prodigals. You know, some of them are prodigals, and you may have a prodigal. Children, our children that we've raised and walked with the Lord, and one thing or another happens, and they decide to turn away. to take their hearts out of following Jesus and put it into something else. And we call them prodigals, right? Prodigals. There are those who become led astray. They become led astray into a deceptive teaching, false teachings, into deceptive heresy. And they become, their lives become immersed in stuff that just isn't true. And the devil's a master at taking people's hearts out of the truth of the gospel and putting it into aberrations of the gospel. Close, but no cigar, we might say. Close, but just something is missing from the way in which they understand the word, or they understand the truth. And it's deception. And deception has a way of capturing our hearts and taking us away from the Lord. And then, people who fall away, it could happen because they fall prey to a particular sin. And that particular sin obsesses them. That particular sin causes them to wallow in an addiction. In an addiction to whatever that sin is. And I just don't mean, addiction like addictions to opioids or addiction to some drugs or whatever. But sin is an addictive thing, whatever it is. But that sin, sin has its way of causing our hearts to be cold. It's not just these overt types of sins. They say, oh, wow, that's a bad thing. But anything that causes our hearts to grow cold. And there are those particular sins. And so people lose heart in following Jesus because they fall in prey to some particular sin. There are some people who fall away because they become mad at God. God didn't come through for them like they thought he should. And they end up becoming offended at God and at the church. I'll never step foot in that church again. Those people are all hypocrites, because something offended them. And they also take it out on God. And their lives turn away. And they walk away from the Lord. And on the heels of that, people who have a conflict with another person or with the leadership, and something turns them off. And because of that, they withdraw. And they end up leaving the Lord and leaving their hearts, as it were, at the altar and forsaking Jesus. And then, and this is the one that I want to kind of smack at this morning as we continue, is There are those who allow the culture to steal their affection away from following Jesus. They become more in love. There are people who become more in love with the things of this earth than the things of heaven. In the culture, when I say guard your heart, it's under attack. In particular, it's under attack by our culture. Our culture, the world in which we live, is dead set, has you and me in its sight, to cause our hearts to be filled with things of this earth that water down our desire for heavenly things. It's the nature of this life. Now, there is, I'm not trying to be a killjoy here. In the things of this life, God has given us culture. God has given us, the things in this life. The idea, like with anything, is that when those things become the preoccupation, as he said in Colossians, don't set your affections on those things. Why? Because there's something inherent in those things that have a way of pushing God out and those things ascending to a place in our hearts that our hearts were never designed to handle. Now, another question. Follow me now, okay? Well, you follow Jesus, but stay with me. What do Demas, things, and thorns have in common? Demas, things, and thorns have in common. I thought about it as I was preparing my message because the heart of what I want to get at, these three things that I just mentioned all pretty much are saying the same thing about guarding our hearts because they're under attack, okay? Now, Demas, in 2 Timothy in 4, chapter 4 and verse 10, this guy Demas, his name was Demas, comes into play. And we're told that here was a guy who was, you know, apparently so on fire for Jesus and finding the destiny of his life being fulfilled in serving the Lord, God's purpose for his life. And he was hot on the trail of that to the extent that he became one of the co-laborers, if you will, an associate of the Apostle Paul. And then we have these to me, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, and one of the saddest things to say about anyone. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:10 about Demas, he says, oh yeah, Demas, he says, he's forsaken me because he has become in love with this present world. He has allowed the things, he's allowed his affection for the culture to deaden the more that God made him for, that God gave him to do for something less. For something less. And this is what always happens to us. When the culture has an ascendancy in our hearts over what God wants for us, it turns us into something less. It really does. That he says, Demas has forsaken me. And just the pathos in those words, that he's given up on, you know, what God had for his life, the more that God had for him, and gave it up for something less. Demas. Then, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I like the way the Phillips translation, of course, again, brings out this verse of Scripture that, again, ties into this theme that I'm trying to capture with us this morning. The J.B. Phillips translation, you know, where he says, in Romans chapter 12, where he says for us to be living sacrifices. And then he says this. He says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Now, some of you may have heard that because it became very popular, that translation of don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says here, Phillips translates it as, don't let the world put a squeeze on you. You know? We know what that is. You know, don't let the world put a squeeze on you. You know? And that it's so at work in your life that it's got a squeeze on you to force you into, to compact you into, to put you into something that makes you like it. He says, don't let that happen. Don't let the world around you. And once again, you got to hear this. The nature of the world around us is to do that. It's its nature. It's not a friendly place. It's designed to capture our hearts and take us away from the Lord if we allow it, the ascendancy in our hearts, where only God belongs. It will do it like that. Ooh. It's an enemy. Things have a way. You know, this is Romans 12, 1. This is the things. You know? Things have a way of crowding God out of our hearts. You know? Because as we look in Mark 4:18, I want to go there. Mark 4:18. If we can take a look. Are you with me this morning? All right. Thank you. Okay. Mark 4:18. And this is taken from the parable of the sower. And you remember the parable of the sower. There were four different soil types. You know, not four different seeds. The seed's the same. But four different kinds of hearts. Say, what are the soil types? Four different kinds of hearts. And in Mark 4:18, he talks about the thorns. Yeah, he talks about the thorns. And I'm sorry, but I want to just clarify that the things, if you're matching scripture verses, is Colossians 3. The verse I read from Colossians 3. Give your heart to heavenly things, not to the passing things on earth. Sorry. And now this one here from Mark 4:18. He says, still others like seed sown among what? Thorns. And it says they hear the word, but the worries of life, how many of you have those? The deceitfulness of wealth, okay, that we give our lives for money, and the desire of other things come in and do what? Choke the word and make it unfruitful. Ruins our lives, destroys our lives. And so thorns does the same type of things, that it chokes, these thorns choke out of our lives, out of our hearts, what God desires for us, has for us. Does the same thing. So it's pretty much saying the same thing, Demas, things, and thorns, you know. Well, okay, so how do I deal with this? How do I do this? So, okay, guard your heart. You know, there's an enemy. There's an enemy attacking it. I'm under attack. How do I keep my heart for God and stay the course to reach what I was made for, what you were made for? How does this happen? You know, I think about the story of Joseph when I think about staying the course, because, you know, you could say Joseph, you know, in the vision that he was given came to life for heavenly things, you know. And before he reached his destiny in those many years, there were many things that came to take him, remove him, from interrupting what God had for his life and jeopardize his destiny from being fulfilled. I mean, everybody knows about Potiphar's wife, right? And if Joseph would have ever caved on that, he would have jeopardized what God had for him. If he would have ever given in to those earthly things, he would have jeopardized what God was ultimately up to in his life. But in fact, that became the very stepping stone for him to reach what God had for his life. Amazing. Just amazing. So what do I got to do here? Now, I'm going to kind of look at this a little bit different in some of the things I want to say about it. And hopefully it'll come out right. I can only hope. Come out right. So how do I keep my heart? How do I stay the course so that I reach what God, you know, so it's never, you know, never said of me, you know, never, nowhere, that, well, you know, Bob was running a good race, but he's forsaken me because he fell in love with the things of this life. I mean, I thank the Lord. You know, I think Melody touched on it this morning. You know, it's like, you know, things stay the same, you know, and then things fall apart, and then things change. Thank God for the things that fall apart. You know? And it's like, you know, I can't tell you how many new cars, you know, I bought new cars. I remember my new truck. It just, it was a 20, what was it? No, it was a, Tundra, Toyota Tundra, the big one, 5.4 liter, had all the bells and whistles, had all the skids under it for you can go through creeks. We were taking it to Mexico. And, I mean, it was new, and boy, I shined that thing, you know. So we're driving down to Mexico, and I'm telling you, I was close I loved my truck. And I let it know that I loved it. I almost gave it a name. I loved it so much. Bob's truck. And parked it, and we had to stay in this one hotel, and I'm scoping out the parking lot. I'm parking my truck on the extreme end of the parking lot. I don't want any idiot banging my doors. So I parked it on the extreme end where nobody can park next to me, you know, parking lot. There she was. She's okay for the night. Rest easy, baby. You know, rest easy. Get up in the morning, around the corner, across the street was a Starbucks. One of the sins that I have fallen prey to. Hop in my brand new shiny truck, every bell and whistle for the model year. Drive out of the parking lot, turn the corner, turned a little bit too sharp. There were guardrails sticking up that I plowed the side of my vehicle into. I heard it go crunch. Something in my heart passed out. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I mean, this thing just crunched, you know. And Sandra looks at me, and it's like we're both like, why us? Because it was a replacement to a truck that got stolen in Mexico by the drug cartel. No, I'm not joking. I'm like, Jesus, here we are, serving you. You know, sacrificed everything, except he says, I wanted your new truck, Bob. And it's like, what the heck? And it's like, I just say this because, you know, sometimes there are those things that in our lives, and then these things fall apart. We wonder what's going on. And God says, I'm helping you so that this is, you know, your affection, for your affection to be set on that is going to ruin you. And so let me just give you a couple of things here that are a little bit different of way of thinking about how I got to do this, you know, what it means. And, of course, the answers are in these texts that I read. But here's the first one. And they're obvious, I think. But here's the first one. You're vulnerable, and so am I, to the deadening effect of the things that are attractive to us in our culture. We're all vulnerable. Now, this is important because our culture, as I said, is a formidable enemy. And a key to being on guard is to just acknowledge that's an enemy of mine right there. Right? Know your enemy. And so I'm going to expose it as such. See, I'm vulnerable to that thing. That thing has a way of seeping in, getting inside of me, and I got to be on guard against it. That's the first number one step to being on guard. Be on guard. That's the first step to keep in your heart. The second one is this. 9 times out of 10, it is a slow descent, a slow slide away from the things that really matter in our lives to the lesser things that are trying to capture our hearts. It's a slow slide. And by that I mean, you know, it's like, well, it's such a little thing, or it's just one time. And whatever it is, however it is, that we allow to capture our hearts, though we may not look at it that way. It's harmless, and there are those things like that, but it depends upon how it is that we're giving our hearts to that thing that makes the difference. Was it important for me to have a nice new truck? Well, Sandra would. Yes, it was. Yeah. But thank you. But how I gave my heart to it, to think that, you know, it was going to do something for me. Now, boy, it's an erosion. You know, that takes place in little things. You know, 9 times out of 10, it's not the big things that capture us. The little things. We slide away, ever so, you know, slip sliding away. And finally, you know, I'm so far away. And then the last one is, and this is tough, because this is a hard thing for all of us to do, and that is to take inventory of our own hearts, to take a good look at our hearts, and to be honest, have an honest assessment of where my heart is, really. And this isn't just, you know, a one-time deal. And to ask God, Lord, search my heart. This is a part of growing. This is a part of fighting. You understand? This is a part of keeping our hearts where they need to be. It's like Demas, you know, and you'd think that, well, how is it possible? We were just talking. We had some friends over Friday night. I have a couple friends. Sandra, you know, we had some friends over Friday night, and we were talking, and this particular, we were talking about a particular couple that, we were talking about this guy who, longtime Christian, was an elder in a church, fell away from the Lord, did the wife all kinds of damage, gave himself to, you know, another woman, and they were talking about him because it was like they said, when we first, you know, got saved and started going to this particular church, this particular guy, he was instrumental in our lives and helping to, you know, and the unfortunate thing is that this is tell me something we don't know, right? The unfortunate thing is, how often do we hear these kinds of sad stories, right? And so that's, you know, it's like, you know, we need to search our hearts because, I don't want something to get in there that may be to be small, but yet has this potential to become big. And what's big is, well, I'm no longer on that trajectory, on that path of ending up having fulfilled the destiny that God has written into my life. And when we take stock, we take inventory, it's not God never, Bob, I'm going to make you feel real bad now. You know, I want you to inspect your heart and see all that bad crap that's there. And I'm going to rub it in your face, Heavens, no. It's like he's way behind that with you. He knows. He knows it's all there. His intent is that he might work at depth in our hearts. And he says, I can deal with that in your life. I can deal with that in your life. I can deal with that in your life. And we take inventory, we take stock of our lives. God, search my heart so that man, I'm aware. Here's the kicker to this, okay? It's one thing to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to make sure your heart is on track. It's another story to ask your wife to do it. Or your leaders to do it. Or your friends to do it. Well, then it's like, mind your own freaking business, I'll punch you in the face. Right? Are you talking to me? Are you telling me? Who do you think you are? And you say, Rulowitz, how do you know that? Because I'm the biggest defender of myself there is in the whole world. Yeah. Are you kidding me? And there's this deceitfulness of sin that we all have blind sides, we all have blind spots. And oftentimes preaching and teaching and the ministry of the Word, and we get into the Word ourselves and our relationships with each other. I think some people are too afraid to become close to other people because they don't like the light that might be shined upon their lives from that kind of friendship. Let's just not keep it that real. Right? Keeping it real. For me, it's a dead giveaway when someone says, oh, keeping it real. That's so fake. Keeping it real. Keeping it real. Or as an excuse to be rude. Absolutely. Yeah, that's just posing. But and it's not to suggest that, that I'm going to play Holy Spirit in your life. And it's not to suggest that more often than not in our relationships with each other, we are called upon to overlook than to look and let me help you deal with that. But at the same time, man, I'll tell you what, God has to help us. Search my heart, oh God, and help me to have the kind of relationships with other people that help me so that, see, because here's the intent of the relationship. I don't want to see your heart grow cold. I want to see your heart grow cold. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that we're playing, we're playing, well, you're not as perfect as I am. Type of thing, and it's like, since I've been exercising for about 3 years or whatnot now, and becoming this mass of, yeah, it's like, sometimes there's this tendency to look on other people who are so out of shape and become judgmental, and it's like, whoa, Rulowitz, pull it back here. Who do you think you are? Stop that. And I think that happens to us even in our lives. We become so exceptional in the way we live and what way we and we. And no, it's not that at all. It's what we don't want to see. We don't want to see. Man, your heart's growing cold here. You know, how is it that we can help each other not to grow cold? Because Jesus said that a tenet of the last days is what? The love of many will what? Who knows? Grow cold. He said a characteristic will be that the love of many will grow cold. And so God has to help us to be the kind of people who, Lord, this is my last point. Good, you ask God to search your heart. That's it. To take inventory, that we have to take inventory as well, you know, and then to be to invite, Lord, you know, use other people in my life, and use the ministry of your word when I come to your word, you know, to get this. I just got done reading a book, I just got done reading this particular book, and I didn't want to read it. It's been on my shelf for a while, and it's like, this book is going to do me damage. I'm serious. This is going to do me damage, and it's like, I don't want to inflict that pain on myself. So on my shelf, it stayed. So I said, I'm going to read this, and I want to tell you, one chapter after the other was so stinking painful, it hurt. I was glad when I got the book done. And sometimes it's that way, you know? Okay, I'm done. Let's stand. Thank you for your listenings to my ramblings on guard your heart this morning, how to keep your heart end up at your destiny, heavenly things. And so what are those heavenly things that we have to give ourselves to, you know? Set your heart on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Good question. Figure it out. Father, in Jesus' name, here we are. And as we've explored your word this morning and talked about this, talked about that, Lord, it's our desire that in these days we give ourselves to nothing that would cause our hearts to grow cold, but in fact the opposite, that would keep them hot. In Jesus' name I pray for your help. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Go in peace.